Do you ever feel like you're spinning your wheels as a freelancer, never really able to gain that momentum and land the projects and the clients that you want? Maybe you're lacking the mentorship that you need to level up, or maybe you've just been following advice that does not work for you. If so, you are not alone. I've worked with hundreds of freelancers who have felt this exact way. I've felt this exact way, and that's why I'm so excited to bring you this video. What if I told you that going from stagnant to successful in your freelance career really came down to a few key traits and habits? In this video, I'm gonna share with you the top habits that I've observed not only in my own full-time freelance business, been self-employed for over 4 years now, but also in the dozens of freelancers that I've interviewed on the Paid Copywriter podcast. I'm gonna share with you practical time management tips, business development tips, and mindset shifts that are going to set you up for consistency, visibility, and resilience that you need to not only sustain your freelance career, but also to thrive. So if you want to learn how to stay focused, how to land better projects, and turn your passions, your skills, your interests into a fulfilling, profitable freelance career, you're going to want to watch till the end because you will walk away from this video with key takeaways that you can implement right away. I'm Christine from paidcopywriter.com. I'm a full-time self-employed freelance writer, and I mentor other freelancers on how to run their business online. If there's one thing I've seen after mentoring hundreds of freelancers is they are talented and they are skilled and they own their craft, but actually landing clients, managing clients, and sustaining their freelance business is not as easy as mastering the actual craft itself. I was traditionally employed as a B2B technology sales rep before becoming a copywriter. So I take everything I learned, those business development skills that I learned over all those years in sales, and I teach other freelancers how to use those communication principles, persuasion principles to run a profitable, lucrative, full-time freelance career. So if you're interested in transitioning from a 9-to-5 and becoming your own boss, working for yourself, this is the channel you're going to want to subscribe to. Hit the like button, subscribe. It's a free way to keep me going and creating this content for you. And I'll just give you a little bonus tip off the bat. If you drink your coffee through a straw, your teeth won't get yellow. So the first tip, the first success habit that all freelancers need to start doing immediately is knowing your numbers and beginning to track. Any successful business owner will be able to tell you a few key numbers, how much they plan to earn that year, how many clients they're currently working with, what their freelance prices are. Granted, I am not best at memorizing those type of things, so I have mine pulled up in a document, but my point being is that you need to get a grasp on your numbers. How much do you want to make? How many clients do you want to be working for? What are your rates that are going to get you to that goal? My methodology is always to set your goals first and then work backwards so that your plan gets you to the goal. For example, if you are a freelance graphic designer, you know that your goal is $100,000 per year. Well, how many clients are you going to work with? What type of projects are you going to work with them? And how are you going to price those projects to get to that $100,000 goal? What many of us do is that we just say, oh, my goal is to make a lot of money this year. That's not specific enough. We have to get really specific with our goals, and not only just putting a number out there, but breaking down the steps and the activities that are going to lead us to that goal. This is something I learned during my time in sales. Basically, I would sit down with my manager at the beginning of every month. He would tell me, hey, this is your quota. Here is our conversion rate. So this is how many meetings you have to set. And that means you have to do this amount of outreach. So when I teach the cold pitching methodology in my program, 30 Days to Paid, which is open to all freelancers who want to learn how to cold pitch and land high paying clients, that's the exact steps and methodology that I teach. Here's your income goal. Here's the amount of clients you want to be working with based on your prices. Here's the amount of meetings you're probably going to have to take. Here's the amount of outreach you're going to have to do daily to get those meetings. So it starts with the main goal, and then you work backward so that you know every day when you open your laptop what you need to be doing in order to reach that goal. Regardless of what type of freelancer you are, you need to be tracking your income, and you also need to be balancing your books. So for me, I run a freelance writing business where I work and do one-to-one services for clients, but then I also run an online program called 30 Days to Paid. That's the online business part of my job, the more passive income part of my business. And every month I'm using the project management tool Asana, which by the way is free. I'm using that to track how much revenue I made each month. I'm using a program called Wave to track the income that I'm making from my freelance business and my online business. I reconcile my accounts every month. So basically I have to see if all the charges on my credit card match with the line items in the accounting software. And this is good bookkeeping when it comes to tax time, but it's really also key that I keep that in mind because I need to see my profit and loss statement. I need to see, okay, here's all my software subscriptions. Here's how much I pay my virtual assistant. Here's all my software fees. Oh, I took this online course. professional development, I add all of that up and it detracts from my profit. So you need to understand your profit and loss statement. How much are you investing in your business versus how much are you earning? And this was so much simpler when I was just a freelancer, because running a freelance writing business and making my full-time income that way basically required like no investment besides having a website and paying those hosting fees. Maybe some LinkedIn premium you want to invest in. A freelance writing business is like that quick, easy way to start making money without investing the money. But regardless of whatever your online or freelance business is, know your numbers. As somebody who was diagnosed with a learning disability in school, when it came to numbers, they call it dyscalculia. Basically, I graduated high school, a sophomore grade level of math. I really thought that I was someone who was not able to get a grasp on the numbers at all. Actually, when I started to learn about financial literacy and wanted to get out of student debt when I was in my early 20s, I literally called my mom crying hysterically because I was like, I'm never going to be able to figure this out. I'm just not smart enough. So just know that all of these things are learned over time and that you can do it. You just have to put your mind to it and be really motivated, even if you have things that are holding you back. Here is the second habit of highly successful, high-earning freelancers and self-employed entrepreneurs. They get into action without over-planning, over-analyzing, and spending the majority of their time in planning mode. Us freelance writers specifically, if you are in that type of freelancing, we tend to obsess. We tend to love reading, researching, learning, and unfortunately, we can get stuck in that mode. My unfair advantage as someone who was in sales was that I did not have the option of overthinking things and staying in my head. I had to just go out and do. I had to cold email people. I wasn't comfortable emailing. I had to knock on doors, actual physical doors, and get kicked out of buildings as a sales rep. I was an inside sales rep, outside sales rep. That's just what we do. I had to go in and meet with people that I didn't feel prepared to meet with. I worked for several organizations where I had to learn products from scratch and I didn't feel comfortable talking about the product, let alone selling someone on it. I was conditioned to break past those insecurities. I didn't have the option as someone who was measured based on my activity. I didn't have the option to sit there and just think about it and plan and stay stuck in my head. I had to actually just go out, do it, fail fast, and move forward. Failing fast, making mistakes, getting those bumps in the beginning, that is going to determine how quickly you succeed as a freelancer. It's not about looking perfect, looking good. It's about how scrappy can you get by going out and talking to people, asking somebody for the business. Hey, I'd love to offer you that service. This is what I do. Even if you feel like an imposter, even if you feel like you're not ready, even if you feel like you're not skilled enough, there's something to be said for making the move first and then thinking about it later. It's kind of a reverse of how we tend to do things. We tend to think about things, plan, and then act. With freelancing, the reason why I was able to go from traditionally employed, having regular jobs from age 14 up until around 28, 29 years old, was that I acted first and then I just decided to figure it out as I went. I would reach out to a client, they'd say, well, do you do this? And I would say, yes, I do that. And then I would Google search and research and go crazy and be like, how do I do this? I would ask people, how do I do this? They ask me for this, what does that mean? If you take it with that approach of not being afraid to look stupid, it's not being afraid of taking a risk, you will succeed. Even if you make those mistakes in the beginning, if you screw up, I'm someone who learns best through making my own mistakes, unfortunately. So even in the freelance world, in the business world, it's really just about learning from your own mistakes and trial and error. And as clean and as tidy as you want your journey to be, it's not going to be. It's going to be messy. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to take a step forward and then take a step back. It's a messy journey, but it's worth it if you want to work for yourself. So as I said, take messy action, do it unprepared, and stop over planning. Now, this third habit is twofold. One is you want to get in community and seek mentorship because you cannot do this on your own. Yes, you can watch YouTube. That's exactly how I learned. It was like how to build a website, how to do this. I had never built a website before. It was a matter of me just finding people on YouTube who were teaching this. And then it was me on the phone with Bluehost saying, how do I point my domain? What? I didn't know any of this stuff. I've been traditionally employed. There was no web development, nothing of building a portfolio. I had to learn that from YouTube. So you can learn certain foundational steps to get that initial start. But when you really get out there in the wild as a self-employed freelancer, you're going to have to ask people for advice. Find someone to ask for advice who's been doing this for at least a year. Get that mentorship. Now, the second prong of that in terms of seeking community is I want you to look at people who remind you of yourself, somebody you relate to, and look at their success. Now, what do I mean by that? I got a lot of questions in my inbox, on my YouTube comments. Okay, Christine, those are great steps, but I'm from insert country here, India, Europe, Africa, insert other country here. Or, okay, those are great steps, but I'm Black, I'm Asian. Those are great steps, but I don't speak English. So okay, those are your obstacles. Those are your quote unquote obstacles, your origin, your ethnicity, your whatever your first language is. We all, to an extent, have those. Some of ours are going to be more of an obstacle than others. However, you need to be looking at someone who is succeeding, that looks like you, that sounds like you, that has your same native tongue, that has the same color of skin. That's what I've always done, is I've looked at other girls who I relate to. They don't have to look like me. When I look at the people that I look up to online, I actually look nothing like them, but there's something about their personality that I kind of relate to, and that gives me hope. Okay, success habit number 4, be a partner to your freelance clients, not an order taker. What do I mean by that? A lot of freelancers, anyone who's self-employed and offering services online, they tend to put the ball in the client's court and let the client dictate how much work they're going to get that month, or what does the client feel like giving me? What are they going to trust me with? What if you were to consistently propose new services to your client, get them on retainer, put some minimums in your business, and set your own parameters for how they need to work with you so you can ensure your own income? Of course, the client has the ability to say, no, I don't need 5 blog posts a month. No, I don't need new social media graphics every month. But at least by putting your standards out there first, instead of being in a totally submissive stance in your freelance business, you can look for the opportunities that are a right fit for you because you have those standards. So quick story on that and how I learned that. I actually spoke with Ray Edwards, the famous copywriter, and he gave me this advice. So this was back in like 2020. I think I had been freelancing for maybe a year at this point. And Clubhouse, who remembers Clubhouse? Clubhouse broke out on the scene. And what's interesting about Clubhouse is that I think that's how I got my initial followers on Instagram. I still have a really small following on Instagram, but I think I would probably be at like 1,000 versus 5 if it were not for Clubhouse. So I made a profile on Clubhouse, and my main goal was to practice speaking. Because mind you, I was a freelance writer, not having any intention of building a personal brand or any of this stuff. So it was very nerve-wracking for me to be on camera and speak. So I said, let me use Clubhouse to get those nerves out. Because I used to get panicky when it was like going live and speaking and raising my hand in any situation. So I kind of used that to get my feet wet and get rid of those nerves. I guess you can call it exposure therapy. So I got into one of these Clubhouse rooms with famous copywriter Ray Edwards, which, by the way, I have his book on my shelf. He's one of the few Christian copywriters out there. So I was like, oh my God, this is Ray Edwards. I was pretty starstruck. And I got to ask him a question in this Clubhouse chat. Now, this was my question to him. So he was giving a talk about how copywriting is conversion oriented, that all the decisions need to be data backed based on the open rates, the click-through rates, and like proving to your clients that you can get actual results. My question to Ray was, here's my problem, Ray. I'm a freelance copywriter. I've written for a dozen clients. I have steady work each month, but I am trying to improve my online presence. And the problem is I don't have those numbers, those metrics to show because my clients don't share it with me. I write email sequences. I write websites. I write blog posts. They don't share with me the traffic numbers. So how am I supposed to build a portfolio and prove to people that I can write copy that converts? And he said, your problem is your clients treat you like an order taker versus a actual business partner. They're not sharing the results with you because you're not involved in their strategy. They're just outsourcing tasks to you. So when you become more ingrained in their business and they start to look at you as a business partner and part of their strategy, then you'll know the numbers. But right now you've fallen into the most common mistake that freelancers make, is that you're just an order taker. And that blew my mind. I started pressing my clients for numbers after that. I started saying to them, hey, I want to help you reach X, Y, and Z goal. I went from just being a freelance writer who people were like, here's a blog post, here's an email, do this, do that. I started to ingrain myself more in their numbers and their business goals and attaching what I'm doing to their business goal. Any service provider who is offering services to a business, if you can know what their overall goal is in terms of revenue or whatever other metrics matter to that business owner, and you can demonstrate how your work connects directly to that business outcome, you will become a business partner and a part of their business versus just, hey, you know, do this little blog post, do this little design, do this little social media post, but then we can easily replace you because I can tell anyone how to do that. Try to insert yourself in people's businesses where it's harder to let you go, and you'll continue to receive work from them on a month-to-month basis because you're a valued part of their business. Now, this next success habit is going to set you apart from all the other freelancers. You know that being a freelancer, whether you're a graphic designer, social media manager, freelance writer, web designer, whatever, you know that it's a competitive landscape. You know that. You know that your clients sometimes speak to 5 other freelancers. So we have to set ourselves aside. And it's not probably gonna be by our services and our skills, because quite honestly, if we're being honest right now, as a freelance copywriter, and it's hard to admit, but it's true, there are other writers who know the skill of copywriting just as well as me and offer the same services as me. So how do I set myself apart when there's a girl that is just like me, she has the same amount of experience, the same skill level, and she's offering the same services as me? client management skills. That is the answer. The intangible client management skills, the soft skills, are what's going to set freelancers apart. It's why I created my program, 30 Days to Paid. It's why I sell the freelance template playbook that shows you how to interact with clients, because freelancers think that just being a good writer, being a good graphic designer, being a good social media manager, being a good consultant, marketing strategist, whatever, they think that that's going to be enough. However, if you are not responsive, if you are not friendly, if you are not easy to work with, if you don't show empathy, these are the soft skills, people are not going to want to work with you and refer you. So for your business to thrive, you not only have to be good at what you do, people have to like working with you, right? So you need to be a good communicator, meaning you have your processes laid out. You can give that client that assurance that you are an organized, pre-planned person. There's nothing worse than working with a freelancer who kind of just flies by the seat of their pants. Yeah, I'll get that draft to you back then and then we'll touch base. No, tell them, I'm gonna start on this date. You're gonna pay me on this date. I'm gonna have it back to you on this date. We're gonna get together for a feedback call on this date. And then we're gonna wrap the project on this date. If you can show that assertiveness, you don't have to be that assertive. I don't know why I just got aggressive right there, but if you can show the client that you have a process, they will trust you. It will put them at ease, because our clients have so much on their plate, they can't micromanage your process too. You need to come to the table with your own process, right? So you need to show that you have a mapped out plan and process. You need to do those little check-ins, whether it's just them, you know, they send you, hey, this is my testimonials page that you asked for. Great, thanks, got it. Even just those little responses, or something I do with my clients, hey, just letting you know where I'm at, little status update. I don't have to do that, but I want to, because it shows a level of responsiveness. There's a way to be really communicative without putting your boundaries to the wayside and being like available to your clients all the time. You don't have to do that, but you need to show them, hey, I'm a professional. You can trust me. I have processes and I have this figured out. Let me handle this part of your business while you go do other stuff, right? Even when it comes to one-off requests or flexibility, you have to think of things long-term too. So for example, like, let's just talk rush fees. People in freelance forums love to be like, well, if they want it quick, you need to charge them a rush fee. Yes, but you also have to have a little bit of nuance to your understanding of the overall situation and give them the benefit of the doubt. If things start to become a pattern, if they want really quick turnaround times all the time, then yeah, catch on to that and set boundaries. But you don't have to be so rigid in the beginning. You can try to do your client a solid and just say, hey, you know, this is actually a pretty short turnaround time, but don't worry about this time. We'll get it done. But next time, let me know, or I do have to charge. Whatever. Put things delicately. There's all these little nuances, and freelance relationships, business relationships are not much different from regular relationships. There's, you know, these unspoken little moments where you have the ability to build trust or break trust, to make someone like you or to piss someone off. So all in all, work just as hard on developing your soft skills and your client management skills and really focusing on the business aspect of your freelance business other than honing your craft. And you'll ensure that you're never in that feast and famine cycle of ending a project and then wondering where your next project is going to come from, because clients are going to want to continue to work with you. Now, if you want to learn more about how I finally broke out of a 9-to-5 career and how I became a full-time freelance copywriter, you're going to want to watch this video. Hit the like button, subscribe, share this YouTube channel. Now, share with me your biggest takeaway. What is that one tip that really stood out to you out of everything I've spoken about in this video? Let me know. I'd love to hear from you, and I read every comment. Good luck in your freelance business, and God bless.